Peace be with you. Happy National Indigenous Peoples Day. Thank you so much for the generous invitation to let me come and be with your parish and community this morning. My name is Reverend Lee Kern, and I am the Reconciliation Animator in the Anglican Diocese of Toronto. I am cross-appointed to Toronto Urban Native Ministry, a joint outreach and advocacy ministry with the United Church of Canada. Toronto Urban Native Ministry is located by Dundas Square in the heart of our city. Since the beginning of the COVID-19 pandemic, we have been in emergency response mode, supporting the survival necessities of Indigenous peoples and homeless people living on the streets of Toronto. We've been engaged in frontline work. TUNM organized the first mobile COVID-19 testing for the whole city for the homeless. We've also been serving about 200 meals every day with our partner, the Church of the Holy Trinity, to those in need, and have been continuing to provide spiritual and pastoral care to those on the streets of Toronto. This work is only possible by your support of TUNM and Indigenous ministries, and for that, we are so grateful. Gichi Miigwech. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation in all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Let us praise the God of flesh. Let this sermon be a hymn to the sanctity of tenderness, the holiness of life, in praise of soft bellies, large and small, the sweetness of wild strawberries, the twisting elegance of white pine trees, and the crinkles around your eyes when you smile. Let us praise the God of flesh for trespassing our imaginations and disarming our human arrogance and hatred, reminding us of what we are made, reminding us of who designed the person next to you, reminding us of who life belongs to. Some have preached that God did not create matter, that heaviness and flesh are evil, far from the light of God, mired down in the density of creation. We once thought that God was far off, distant, but then God came crashing into our communities, crashing into the urgency of the present, into the mess of families and neighborhoods. God entered the trembling body of a newborn baby. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. In our gospel reading today, the incarnation of God into the frailty of flesh, the all-powerful stepping into the total vulnerability of human life, this radical dependence of a baby, this incarnational God is the God of creation. This prologue of John's gospel is a hymn against any homiletic that says God did not create all matter. No, in the beginning was the life, and that life was the light of all the worlds. This generative, unbridled first creativity. The prologues of the past help us understand the present and reinvigorate our hope for the future. Life is sacred. God is creator. Black lives matter. Indigenous children and parents are sacred. No one is disposable. The power of the racist songs that we have tuned our society to are coming undone. The streets are full of cries that life must be treasured, not trampled. Can you hear the Word in flesh crying out? Our gospel today brings us back to the origins of creation. It harkens back to the book of Genesis, our Christian creation story. In darkness, the Spirit hovered over the water. In black majesty, the womb of all creation, the first creativity, the living Word of God, spoke. In Anishinaabe creation stories of this territory, darkness is also first. Holy blackness is our first home. In Anishinaabe traditions, the first womb of life was pitch black, And the first sound heard was that of a rattle, the first seeds of life moving. Sound, pulsing, shaking, seeds scattered forth in the nighttime of creation. Walter Linsow, one of my elders, taught me that this is why babies love rattles. They are close to the Creator still. They just came straight from the heart of the Spirit. They remember the soothing sound of God's comforting cruise, gently sounding life into being. A lot of different stories has been told about the Creator. We once thought that God was far off. We once thought that men were God, that women were evil, that people who menstruated were dirty, that trans people were a sin, that children should be punished and black people should be enslaved and indigenous people don't know the Creator. But then the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The Word became flesh and disarmed us. Flesh cries out to flesh, I am sacred, full of grace and truth. The Word is still active and alive. The Word is regenerative, creative, calling us back continuously to the sanctity of flesh. The rhythm of soft tissues and lungs expanding is the love song of God, reverberating throughout the universe. Origin stories are powerful. The stories that we tell ourselves shape our world. Colonial and imperial worldviews shape the stories and songs and policies of the places we live. The subconscious stories we tell ourselves of who matters and who doesn't. The songs we tune our minds to, the rhythms bigger than us, beyond us, that ask for our voices and hands and feet to march along to. Tunes so familiar to us that they have been playing in the background all these years, yet we never noticed we knew all the words. Songs we need to unlearn. One of the first traditional Indigenous songs I learned as a teenager was the Strong Women's Song. Perhaps you've heard it before yourself. It's one of the most famous Indigenous songs. I first heard it when I was 16, attending a ceremony for missing and murdered Indigenous women, girls, Two-Spirit, and queer peoples. Hundreds of families gathered on College Street in front of the police station. They were holding signs with face after face of missing women, wanting answers, wanting their daughters to be considered, their cases opened, paid attention to, cared about, wanting the thousands of deaths to stop, wanting people to care. I've been going to this annual ceremony for over 15 years. And every year there are more photos, more families, more tears, and more grief. The ceremony, though, shows us a different song, full of grace and truth. Indigenous elders and residential school survivors lead. They speak first. They set the tone. The families of the missing and murdered are valued. They are at the center. We circle around them and we listen to them. They call for justice and action, and we listen. If only we as a culture and society followed the lead of Indigenous peoples. If only we followed the lead of the families of victims of trauma and racialized violence. If only we looked to them to shape our policies and our social structures. The Strong Women's Song, sung at memorials for missing women, is pining and resilient. The double drum beats resound, the rattles shake, and women take the lead. It is a song that I believe is reshaping our land. I'd like to share my version of this oral tradition, the story I've been told about where the Strong Women's Song comes from, the Kingston Prison for Women in the 1970s. The prison was cold. It was quiet and dark. When a woman's tears broke the silence. She was in solitary confinement. There was no windows, no starlight, no moon, no sun on her face, no birds with their songs to awaken the dawn. How did she get here? Her black eyes searched the four tiny walls of the cell. She was taken first as a child, taken from her mother, who she can only remember her dark eyes. The RCMP took her when she was just little. The residential school where she was sent was like this prison. No time spent outside. No one to hug her when she cried at night. Just unwelcomed hands. Firm grips, like the guards now in the prison for women in Kingston. It was pitch black in her cell. Her tears broke the silence. "I'm going to kill myself," she said. "What?" The other women from the cell down the hall gasped through the windowless concrete walls and floor. "I can't do it anymore. All I can see is the faces of my children. I miss them. They took them away from me. I shouldn't even be here. I never hurt anyone," she cried. The other women in solitary confinement started speaking back to her, saying, "You have something to live for. They can't lock you in here forever. You will survive. You will hold your children again." Solitary confinement was almost all Indigenous women then, locked in torturous conditions, losing their minds. Full, vibrant human beings, stifled to four tiny walls crashing in day and night for months, for years. "I'm gonna kill myself," she screamed. And suddenly a voice broke louder. A voice began to sing. The song came to the women answering their sister in distress on the brink of suicide. Many elders teach that songs come from the ancestors or the spirit world. They come to the people at a particular moment in time with a particular medicine. The strong women's song was sung by the women in solitary confinement that whole night long until the sun rose that morning. The woman did not take her life. She survived. Many women did not survive solitary confinement or the loneliness of prison. This song is always sung to empower the living and honor the dead. Recently, the drums have come out and people have been singing that strong women's song for Chantal Moore, an Indigenous mother killed last week. Judith Sayers, a member of the same First Nation as Chantal Moore and a family friend, wrote that a police officer was sent to do a wellness check on Chantal Moore because they were concerned that she was being harassed. After midnight, Chantal was in bed, sound asleep. The police arrived, knocked on her door, but Chantal doesn't hear, she's asleep. They pound louder and louder. She wakes up, she grabs a knife, she's startled. The door opens. They see a short, alone Indigenous mom startled awake, holding a knife, and they shoot her 5 times. This is all the information that we have from the police statement. 9 Indigenous people have been shot and killed by our police or RCMP or died in their custody since the beginning of 2020. Aisha Hudson, age 16. Jason Collins, 36. Stuart Kevin Andrews, 22. Everett Patrick, 42. Abraham Nadanin, a yet to be publicly named Inuk man from Apex Nunavut. Regis Korchinsi Paquette, 29. Rodney Levi, 48. Chantal Moore, 26. dignity and honor to their names and families. Their families, their lives are sacred and holy. Their lives were made and cherished by our Creator. The family of 16-year-old Aisha Hudson have called for a national mobilization, national organizing in solidarity with the families of the Black Lives Matter movement to seriously examine what we consider to be public safety. Who is included and excluded from that conversation? Who is protected and who feels persecuted? The pandemics of COVID-19, mass incarceration, violence against Indigenous people, and extrajudicial killings of Black and racialized peoples across the continent have shaken society to its core. Now is a time of grief and loss, but we must lean into this vulnerability, lean into the pain and fear, for this cannot go on. We cannot continue to sing the same song. Flesh cries out to flesh, I am sacred. On the streets of our cities, the Strong Women's Song is being sung to honor the beautiful life of Chantel Moore and so many others who deserved care but met a scary and horrific death. Can you hear the word of life crying out? We have had to learn new songs before. We have had to reimagine, recreate, learn from the past, learn from leaders, learn a new way forward. When we are confronted with the inequities of racism in our society, we can feel paralyzed, not sure what to do. But we must move from that place of personal to the social, from a feeling of individual guilt to a sense of collective responsibility for each other. We all have a voice and gifts at the table. These times of national crisis call us to examine where are our collective energies going. How much of our publicly funded budgets go towards weapons, and how much goes to free and accessible mental health care? Our incarnational faith teaches us that the stuff of human life, our organizations, our institutions, our money, our land, these things are not separate from our faith. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. That word was named Jesus and was ultimately killed by a state as an innocent man. His resurrection stunned the guards and all who wished to trample on life. As a people of this reality, a reality where all life is holy, created by a loving, animating, incarnate God, especially present, especially identifying His fragile flesh with our own, identifying especially with those who have been persecuted. What you do to the least, you do to me, Jesus said. This Indigenous Peoples Day of Prayer, I invite you to commit to learning about and challenging embedded racism in our culture, structures, and communities. For more information on how you can personally support 6-year-old Gracie and the family of Chantel Moore, please see the resource kit that I have provided your community with. The resources that we have created for observing National Indigenous Peoples Day are for every day. The 5 sections of the resource package are learn, pray, worship with others, act, and redistribute wealth. I encourage you to sit with each of these sections and explore. Click the link to an Inuit podcast or check out the online social distance powwow. Let this new and strange time be one of creativity, a time of concrete commitments, of saying enough to violence, of turning over power to those who have been most impacted by injustice, a time to finally follow and implement the lead and leadership of the families of missing and murdered Indigenous women. Let this be a time of vulnerability and courage, a time to protect flesh, a time to enflesh our faith. Let us pray. Crucified One, as you tear down the mighty from their thrones and lift up the stomped on, enkindle our hearts with the fire of your transformation. God, who shook the foundations of power with the song of a few, who opened prisons and parted the Red Sea, who raised the murdered from the dead, give us your tender heart, your courage, your creative vision, and life-giving love. Amen.